B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ball on the near hash to left hash. Brady takes the snap and retreats. He looks left. He fires the back shoulder. Yeah! Brown! Touchdown, Patriots! Inside the near left pylon.
Welcome to New England, kid. What a throw by the quarterback to the back shoulder.
All right, welcome into the program. Tony Maz alongside Felger here in the A-hole chair. What'd you make of Antonio Brown and his Patriots debut? And Big Jim Murray's in our update studio. Maz, again, what do you make of Antonio Brown there?
Okay, so you want me to talk about the performance? Is that what you mean, the actual play?
I want you to talk about whatever you think's going to make good content.
Okay, so I'm not surprised he played. I think we all expected that. I wasn't surprised they tried to get him involved early. And then after the first drive, I don't think it looked very good. And so now that's the football part of it. Now, the other part of it, I don't see how this guy's going to make it.
I agree.
I don't see how he's going to make it.
I agree.
I just don't see how this thing lasts. I don't. And this has nothing to do with the game. It has to do with stuff that's obviously come out within the last several hours. Sports Illustrated has a story out now on Antonio Brown with more details about who he is, how he acts. Brittany Taylor's meeting with the NFL today. You know, Robert Kraft saying that they never would have signed him if he'd known this all up front. All this stuff coming out. I don't see how this guy makes it. I can't see how he makes it. I don't know how much longer you want to, you want to put an over under on it, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever. He's not going to make it.
I just feel, again, if you want to start the off field thing, not one singular thing in the SI piece, and we'll get to it. We'll give you the details in the SI piece. I don't think there's one singular thing that would rise to the level of banishment from the NFL or suspension from the NFL. And I'm not even sure that his sexual assault civil suit rises to that level.
Correct.
Again, that thing still could be frivolous. We'll find out. So I don't know if there's one single thing, but it feels like eventually one of these is going to hit. One of these is going to be impactful enough for Robert to say, okay,
we're done.
Thank you.
I don't know how you can't read that article and feel like it's just a matter of time.
How many times has he called the police to his house for various things? And again, we'll get into all the details of this story.
And there was one stretch, I think it was when he was in Florida. It's three straight days. Three straight days.
So he had these stretches, again, in Miami and in Pittsburgh, where he was calling the cops every night about robberies and this and that and domestic disputes. And again, not any one singular thing. You know, the bottom line is he's an epic deadbeat, you know, which makes him, again, what we already knew, a pretty bad guy. But there isn't one. But eventually, if this civil suit is frivolous, the next one won't be. And if the stories individually in this SI story don't rise to the level, the next one will. I mean, that's sort of how I feel, right? It's just a matter of time till one of these is enough to say, or someone comes forward who's got something, you know, that goes beyond what we've heard so far. And it's just, ooh, it just doesn't feel like it's going to make it, does it?
I mean, that's the thing is, again, you know, they're just little by little, there's more and more coming up. I just don't think he's going to make it. I don't think he's going to make it. And look, again, you know, the story sort of is what it is. The guy has brought upon himself what he has brought upon himself. And there's no one else to blame. He treats people like garbage, whether they're male or female, frankly. It doesn't seem to matter based on these stories. The transgressions tend to be more egregious with women for obvious reasons. And so, you know, he's just not a very likable guy. And, you know, I just don't know where you go with it from there. Like, okay. I look at it and I just say, I'm not rooting for the guy. I don't like that. He's good for our business from that standpoint. And, you know, the first drive yesterday, you're sort of looking at going, okay, well, you know, there you go. And then after that, I didn't think it was very good at all.
Well, so this storyline that he hit the ground running, he picked it up seamlessly, it's like he's been here months. Like, I don't get where that comes from. I don't get where that analysis comes from.
I mean, even in Brady's post game, he didn't say anything like that. He said that there's work to be done here.
But there's sort of like this thing, like,
it's just patently false.
He played like he's been in the offense for months. Like, how many snaps did he play?
24.
He played 24 out of how many did they have?
72. Okay, so he played 33% of the snaps.
So he played a third of the, just start there. He played a third of the snaps. So he didn't hit the ground running. He had a good drive. Here's what people saw. He's a great player. I mean, his footwork.
His feet are tremendous.
Oh.
Tremendous.
Oh, his feet are just a pleasure to watch. His feet, his hands, his body control. You know, he ran good routes, but it's really, to me, more about just his center of gravity. Like, all that sort of stuff. It's just, oh, he's... I take out everything else about him. He is my kind of receiver, man. I love guys like that. He's not overly big. He's not just that pure stretch of field guy. He is, man. So, you know,
he's perfect for Brady.
I've talked about this a lot. Like, the best feet I've ever seen in football were Terry Glenn's. Terry Glenn just had these feet. Marvin Harrison. You know, Terry Glenn, Marvin Harrison, guys who could just, that footwork. He's got it, man. He's beyond in that class, if not beyond it. So it's, he's fast and quick. His footwork is great. And I'm going to keep going on and on, but, you know, you just saw it on those little. So that's what you saw. You saw the pure physical ability of Antonio Brown. But this thing about, like, immediately snap your fingers and he's, that's not what happened.
No. Those miscommunications in the second half were clear. They just weren't on the same page. And so, you know, he was going one place. Brady was throwing the ball another. It wasn't there.
And he wasn't on the field. They didn't even put him on the field. We should tell you all you need to know about where he is. Now, he'll probably get there because he's so freaking good. And Brady, I think, is clearly committed to him. Clearly is going to feed him. You know, I talked earlier last week about a potential problem down the road with him is when he realizes he's not going to reach his incentives. That still may happen, but Brady's going to try and get him for him. Brady wanted that second touchdown to him. And so Brady's going to help him try and get those numbers and try and reach those incentives. So he's going to get fed. And we'll see if that's a good or a bad thing. But, you know, so in time, it's going to work. It's going to work because he's so good and Brady's so good and their competition is so bad and Brady wants it to work. So if Antonio Brown can sort of dodge this minefield of his of who he is as a person, then, you know, I almost don't see how it doesn't work. There's just too much talent. They are added all up between the brain power of everybody else and his physical ability. But I just think for a singular day, it's like, what are you talking about? He hit the ground running. They didn't put him on the field for 2/3 of the game.
No, so look, the first drive looked good. And again, there were a variety of different passes there, but they all felt sort of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Predetermined. For lack of a better word, that he knew exactly where he was going from the snap, and Brady was throwing it there, and there they go. Last one in particular, that little out. And so I don't know how many of those he's reading and how many he's not.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They felt, again, predetermined to me. It's like, you're going to get Antonio the ball in these three plays. And then after that, I mean, the touchdown was an adjustment. Brady, you know, it was offensive pass interference, if you ask me. But nonetheless, he adjusted on it. He made a good play. It was a, you know, legitimate NFL touchdown play. But then after that, I thought it was pretty bad, actually.
Well, I don't know if it was, you know, I wouldn't say bad. I mean, Brady underthrew him on that last one. That should have been another touchdown.
True, yes,
that
true.
That was on Brady. That wasn't him.
But there were two balls before that that were miscommunications.
And I don't think he was open. And I think Miami started to press him a little bit. Maybe this goes back to what we were talking about. The first play that he was against a really soft zone. And I wonder if that first half success was going zone, and then they manned him a little bit in the second half, and he didn't have quite the separation. Which is something we talked about earlier. You know, his numbers against press coverage have gone down, or they were down last year anyway. But, you know, that's, I think, one thing that happened to him in the second half. But I think he's still so good that he's going to win more often than he doesn't. And it will be good in time. I just don't know if yesterday was, like, really that breakout. Oh, here he is. Like, he did, you know, he's been here for 5 years. No, I didn't feel that way. Here's what I want to ask Patriots fans. Are you ready for your potentially second perfect season and potentially Brady's last season, the last year of the Brady-Belichick thing? Because I still think that's on the table that Brady's done after this year. And I think 19-0 is on the table. So this is like a pretty big year for you. Pretty big year. Are you okay with it being co-opted by Antonio Brown and him and his stories every day? Are you ready for that?
I think most people are.
For him to hijack Brady's final season?
Yeah, I think people have twisted this into all this negativity, you're a bunch of haters, you're just trying to bring him down because this is his narrative. I mean, that's obvious with his Instagram video last week. So that's what people have spun it into, and they're going to embrace it. And it's more of a middle finger to those that want to talk about him and his off-field transgressions and stories like this Sports Illustrated thing today. That's all it's going to be. Me? He scored that touchdown yesterday. I was like, oh, great. Like, I want them to win. I want their seventh Super Bowl. 19-0 would be amazing. But him, I'm not rooting for that guy.
So you think not only are fans okay with him hijacking the season, they want him to hijack it because they want to use it to go blah at the end of the year?
Without question. They've already embraced it.
I'm with Murray on that.
Yeah?
You're not on the internet. You should see some of the stupid memes already. I mean, it's like laughably bad.
Well, let's go. Let's go then, Boston. I'm ready for it. 4 months, no problem, every day. Never mind Brady and the greatest player of all time and another 19-0 season and maybe Brady's last year and all these things. Let's talk about Antonio Brown farting in the face of a trainer and exposing himself to another lady in his house and let him stiffing every other person that's come into his life and pretty much cop calls every third night for domestic calls at his house with the mother of his five children or the different mothers of his five children or chucking furniture off his apartment balcony, almost hitting a two-year-old kid. Let's do it. 4 months, no problem. Happy to do it. If that's what you want, then I guess that's what you want. But I have to wonder if some of you don't want that. If you do want it to be about Brady and Belichick and this great thing that they've built here and what could be the epitaph to everything that they've done here and that capper and that final season. It's a really great story, something worth rooting for. But instead, it's going to be Antonio Brown.
Oh, I've already browned out. I mean, this is the job.
It's a brown out?
Yep. This is the job. We got to talk about him. I can't stand him. You don't need him. I didn't want him. And yet again, like I just said, yesterday, much like the game against Pittsburgh, is proof you don't need him. And take a look at the landscape of the league, which is getting worse by the day with the injuries to the quarterbacks, by the way. You don't even need him. You don't even need the guy.
Okay, so I would just say this real quick. Well, yes?
No. Professionally, I'm all for it. I mean, yeah, listen, professionally, I'm all for it. Personally, if the guy didn't show up today at the facility and never came back, it wouldn't bother me in the least bit.
I would just say this before we go to our first break, and that's a personal message to Alex Guerrero. Get your fees up front. I'd ask for the fees, the initiation, whatever it is you charge, I'd get it up front. I wouldn't wait for it on the back end unless this is just pro bono, unless you're just doing it, you know, for the pub. If there's actual fees there at TB12, I'd get the account squared away pay ahead. Paying in arrears is when you pay at the end of the month. What happens when you pay at the front?
Pay in advance.
You pay the advance. Advance, Alex. I go for advances. And that is also a message to any vendor, contractor out there in New England. Advance. I would not take Antonio Brown on credit.
Including artists.
And apparently, if you're an artist, don't turn your back. Because when you turn around, you don't know what's going to be waiting for you right in your face. All right, your thoughts on all of it after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm told that Brittany Taylor, his accuser in a civil lawsuit accusing Antonio Brown of rape and other charges, is going to meet with the NFL tomorrow. They are fast-tracking this investigation, obviously, because of the time element. They want to be thorough, but they do want to have things done quickly. I'm also told Antonio Brown will cooperate with the NFL, as he is compelled to do. And there was another NFL player, a rookie, who was present for at least one of these alleged incidents. Likely the NFL will want to speak to him, too. I'm also told that neither the NFL nor the Patriots, including owner Robert Kraft, were aware of these charges before they signed Antonio Brown. Kraft would not have signed off on this had he known. And obviously, Rich, tomorrow and this week is going to be big. The reason that this became public, I'm told, is Antonio Brown and the accuser were in settlement talks for months. When those broke down, that is when this became public. And obviously, we still have so much more to learn.
Ian Rappaport pregame with the report that had Robert Kraft known about the lawsuit, the signing would not have gone through. How do you feel about that piece of information gathering?
I mean, of all the stuff that's come out in the last day or so, this one irritates me the most. Really? He wouldn't have signed off on it? Okay, fine. Then why is he still here? Like, what? So you can't release him after the fact? Like, what's the issue? If you wouldn't have, what has changed to make you think that it's now okay? You follow me?
That one's embarrassing.
I hear that and I go, wait a minute. So why, if you wouldn't have signed him had you known, why haven't you released him now that you do?
The classic case of wanting it both ways. That's what I was talking about last week with this team, with the Crafts. Either own it or don't own it. Own it or don't own it. Either take them and own it, or don't take them and get on your high horse. But you can't do both.
Oh, my gosh, really? That had they known, they wouldn't have signed off on it. Well, then why is he still here?
Why
can't you release him? Why can't you get out and say, Bill, you slipped this one by me. Now get rid of him.
Yeah, I would think you'd feel duped. And with duped comes anger. And with anger, then comes the cut and release of Antonio Brown. But that hasn't happened. So that's why I'm not buying it.
The owner can intervene when they got to trade the backup quarterback, but he can't intervene now? or when they're going to trade Gronk. He can intervene then, but you can't intervene now?
So, I mean, that opens up a couple different things. The first thing is that, just how two-faced. Like, you can't have it both ways, man. Either take the guy on and own it and support him or keep your mouth shut or just support him with your actions by playing him or whatever the case may be, or let him go and then get on your moral high horse and say, we don't stand for guys like this. Either, but that, oh God, they just, you have to have the PR thing. You have to have the smoke blown up your skirt about how you're trying to do the right thing and stand for the right thing. Like, oh, it's just that is insufferable. Oh, so full of crap. But the second piece is this possibility that Bill knew and Robert didn't. Like, which, again, I said last week, early in the week, which I've always felt is sort of a real possibility. That you just sort of keep all the details from ownership and the other side of the building in hopes of getting the player. And, you know, it's entirely possible that happened here. But how does that prevent Robert on Tuesday night when the lawsuit drops for him to say, sorry, Bill?
It doesn't. And again, at the end of the day, it's his team. It's his team. So I don't want to hear, well, had I known about it, we wouldn't have signed him. Well, then, I hate to keep saying this. Then why is he still here?
Okay. As promised, to your reaction, to your thoughts on the Patriots and what's going to be the lead story for your team all season long, Antonio Brown. Dominic in North Andover. Hi, Dominic. Lead us off.
Hey, guys. I'm going to talk about this Antonio Gate thing real quick because you say, oh, let's not have him because there's drama with the Patriots. There's been drama with the Patriots every year for how many years? Brady goes to court with the Deflategate, but we don't say, oh, let's get rid of Brady. And it's also a joke that you guys don't want him and none of the media doesn't want him. He's one of the best wide receivers in the league. Everyone I know heard we got him and everyone was like, yes, this is awesome. We're going to win a Super Bowl. But all the media is like, oh, no, he has too much drama. We don't want him. Jim, I expected more from you. I knew you were a Patriots fan, and I know you are one, but, like, come on, man. Antonio Brown is nasty. He's going to help us win a Super Bowl. If you don't think he's going to help us win a Super Bowl, then I don't know where your head's at.
Okay. He is nasty. There's no question about it.
And he's also a garbage human being, and we'll get into that Sports Illustrated article. And all of you thought this before they signed him.
Thank you.
You all thought this.
Thank you.
The revisionist history, it's starting to make me so from crazy. And, again, look at these two games. And he was a non-factor in the second half. Look at the landscape of the league. There's three good teams. The Patriots, the Chiefs, Dallas. That's it. The rest of the league blows. You don't even need him in the first place.
By the way, can I just say, I never said I didn't want him because of the drama. He's bringing drama. I never said. In fact, I said the opposite. I said he's good for business. I just think that the Patriots bringing him in is bad for them. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think he's a good human being.
And I just think the media is being consistent where the fans are not.
And because I want them to win the Super Bowl, and I want a seventh ring, because I am selfish that way. I want to see Brady to be the best ever. And we can now say, like, yeah, F you, Steelers, seven Super Bowls here. It's my issue with him being on the team is that it just feels like it's going to be something. Something is going to trip up this team. He's going to be a problem in that locker room. There's going to be something else that comes along with this guy because he is a hurricane of chaos.
So, but again, he's the story for you now for the next 3 months.
Ugh.
Because the games aren't going to be. The games are going to be hard to talk about. I mean, we'll talk about yesterday, but really, it's really not, there's just not much there to discuss. And it's going to be like that a lot of weeks. It is.
Like for the first eight.
I mean, it's a down league, and you're really, really good. And so these games are going to be tough to talk. It's going to be, Antonio Brown's going to fill that vacuum. So he's hijacking Brady's potential last season. And a potential 19-0 season. If you're okay with that, you can let me know. Mark in Maine, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, what do you got?
Good. Hey, just going on the EB thing like everybody else in the universe real quick. The first question would be, what do you think the chances are that Bill Belichick had no idea that this allegation was coming out very shortly?
So that he had no idea, 0%. So I've gone there. Like, did he know everything? Now, I don't know about that either. I don't think, you know.
See, I'm always reluctant to say zero, but it's really small.
Right. So
it's like 0.5%. Like, I'll give that much just for life.
So the gray area is they knew something was coming, but no one thought it was going to drop on Tuesday. But if the deadline was Sunday night and they signed him Sunday, you know, again, Rosenhaus told them absolutely nothing. Tonight's a deadline. We've been in mediation. We've been in negotiations with this gal for 6 months, and we've had mediators, and we've gone back and forth, and they've given us a deadline. Oh, by the way, tonight, he was signed. Was it a Saturday that it was released and signed on a Saturday, right?
News broke on Saturday.
So the deadline was the next day. There was no communication to the.
No, it's a good point. It's a good point. That, I mean, you know, we got this thing hanging over us, and, it, you know, would you give that piece of information and say it might get ugly soon? I mean, that would be the right thing to do, right? That they've given us a deadline of tomorrow night?
That deadline was significant. I think that deadline would have been when his Raiders salary guaranteed, you know, if he was on the week one roster. So I think it may have timed out with something like that, but it was definitely, I think, timed out to do something with the start of the regular season and triggering certain guarantees in his contract. And maybe using that as a leverage point to saying, settle this before it gets out and the Raiders say no, or the Raiders release you, or whatever. I just think that was the timing there, whether he was with the Raiders or the Steelers or anyone. Sunday, the first week of the league year, you know, there was going to be some sort of something there. So that's where it timed out. So I just find it hard to believe that Rosenhaus would go radio silent on it, zero, give them nothing, and be so cavalier then that day last week when it dropped to say, yeah, we knew it was coming.
Yeah, look, again, I believe that Bill knew. I believe he knew. He knew something was coming. He might not have known when, but he knew it was coming.
And I think it's possible they didn't tell Robert everything. But this thing now about if I had known, oh, my God, good God, just own it for the love of everything that's good. Just own it and stop this thing about trying to do everything to everybody and just the PR, like just – You can't spin positive PR out of this guy. You can't. He's one of the worst guys in the league.
I mean, not to like go all, you know, start ripping the media on it. But if someone says to you, well, had Robert known, he wouldn't have done, you know, he would have stepped in. Well, then why hasn't he stepped in now? Why wouldn't you ask that question? Then why is the guy still here?
Jim in New Hampshire, what do you got for us?
Regarding Antonio Brown, I'd like you guys, if you get a chance, to Google frontal temporal lobe dementia.
I don't mean to laugh. It's a serious thing.
It's a serious thing. But my brother was just diagnosed with this. And the similarities between Brown's behavior and my brother's behavior for years is eerily similar.
Okay, Jim, I'm just going to let you go. Thank you for calling in for that. We were all saying this when he was a Raider, that he might have mental issues or suffering some sort of breakdown or some sort of meltdown, or he wasn't the same since Perfect hit him in that playoff game and CTE. And this is, you know, this is what a lot of people were saying when he was a Raider. I don't hear quite as much now that he's a Patriot, but the behavior's exact. I mean,
oh my God, he's completely out to lunch. He's like, again, well, wait till we get to some of the details in this Sports Illustrated story. And again, they're not all criminal. Okay, I'm not telling you, but they're just whacked. Like some of these things, you're like, what is, like, I read this story and went, something's wrong with this guy. Like something's really wrong with him. And I don't know if it's the result of a tough upbringing or, you know, mental disease that was congenital. Or I have no idea. He ain't right. He's not right. And when you read this, you'll believe that.
And so we're saying, you know, are you okay with Antonio Brown co-opting your season, hijacking your season? I'm of the mind that he ain't going to make it. One of these stories is going to hit.
I mean, that's how I feel. After reading this, I say, this guy's not going to last.
Okay, so we continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. Breaking news, major breaking news in the NFL today around the AFC. Here it is with Murray, and then we're right back with you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
In comes Antonio Brown. First snap as a Patriot. Play number two.
Brady waits on the snap. White motions into the back to the quarterback's left. The snap to Brady. A throw down the middle. Caught by Brown. Has it at the 40-yard line of Miami. Clipped down by Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Here we go. I mean, pick your poison. You're going to double Edelman, you're going to double this guy.
Brady waits on the snap for the second down and nine. He has it. He stands in. He throws for Brown on the out. First down, Patriots stepping to the far sideline at the Miami 28.
12-yard cushion. Good luck.
Three to the right. Brown left. Brady's looking that way. He's throwing that way. Catch by Brown. Okay. He curls to the inside at the 10 and rolls to a stop. With Wiltz close by, along with Rowe, two former Patriots.
God, he's so quick. He's asking for more. He says, keep feeding me.
You know, on the field, again, I'll reiterate, he's really my kind of receiver. I love his game. And that's not... if the freelancing stuff that he was supposed to be doing in Pittsburgh, I hate that, but I just... boy, the feet, the combination of feet and hands is just special.
Yeah, this guy's not, he's not a hood ornament.
Oh my God, right. He's not just run down the field. Wee, take the top off defense. I hate those guys.
I mean, he's a possession guy. I think he's a possession guy more than he is a big play guy.
He was in the slot most of the time. I love the slot stuff. Love it. I love him out of the slot. I think that's where you get your best matchups. I think that's the biggest problem. I don't know. Those boundary receivers? Put a big corner out there and pin him against the sidelines. And there's just jump balls along the sidelines. I don't know. The guy that can work out of the slot, go to the left just the same as to the right, work the middle and the sidelines and go deep, get up on safeties, all that. I love the guys out of the slot. So, like, if this guy wasn't such a flaming asshat, I'd be all about his game. And again, you said it, perfect for Brady. He can be a possession guy.
He can. He can pretty much do it all out there. The one thing he doesn't have is size. That's it. But he can run by you. He's quick. He can catch the ball. Like, there's a lot to like.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's very talented. But I'll tell you, I watched the late game, a little bit of that late game, the Bears in Denver, and I just felt like, man, I wish it was Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, isn't he a great guy to watch, too?
Yeah. So Brown is, like, a very talented, and Sanders is talented, but, like, he's an extremely talented Emmanuel Sanders. Without the problems, I'd rather have him.
Absolutely. Manny Sanders can play for me any day of the week. I don't know of him being much of a problem, and he's got the same sort of thing. Inside, outside, tremendous footwork, tremendous hands. I don't hear him yapping. Like, I love that player. And if Brown didn't have the baggage, I would just love his game. You know, but again, I think this commentary that he just sort of fit right in is not, that's not what I think I saw there. He only played a third of the snaps. If he fit right in, was ready to go, was fully caught up, fully cognizant in the offense and all of that, he would have been out there more. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at it, but Randy Moss, with that Jets game in week one, did he only play a third of the snaps?
No, I think he was out there more than that. That was my recollection.
So he played, Brown played 24 snaps, but was targeted 8 times. So every third time, Brady's...
And don't forget the running play.
And then there was the running play, so we got to touch on that one as well. It's like, Brady's going to feed him. You know, I said there's no way he's going to hit those incentives. Well, I sort of left out the fact that if Brady wants him to get those incentives, he can get those incentives.
Totally. So again, think of it in these terms. When he was on the field, he got the ball almost 40% of the time. 40% of the time. Who on the Patriots gets the ball 40% of the time?
So let's see if that sustains. You know, so, but this is what I'm saying. It's like the coaches, I'm sure, are ready to use him in a role. But Brady, it's really not. When Brady drops back, it's out of the coach's hands. Brady goes where he wants to go with it.
He's got final say, as they like to say, right?
So if he wants to feed Antonio Brown, he feeds Antonio Brown. You know, as a player, I don't have much qualms with him. I really don't. I don't have any. If things develop where he's freelancing and that sort of stuff, and they fall in love with deep shots or low percentage balls, which happened with Moss, which happened with Gordon last year, you know, I think that's doesn't play to Brady's strengths. That's not necessarily a big play offense. It doesn't have to be a big play offense. I'm not a guy that really endorses like those big shot kind of offenses. I don't think it works. It's what I don't like about Aaron Rodgers. He's just taking shots now. And, you know, so anyway, but what we saw yesterday is perfect. Going against a soft zone, you want to go over the middle? Go over the middle. You want to work a corner who's giving you a 10-yard cushion all day long. And he can do that, man. He can do that. Little things that you noticed in this game, little things, and I'm not telling you are important, but just sort of, so he's taken over your season. It's all about him, so let's take it to the nth degree. He's going to have to learn to keep his helmet on, probably. His helmet's constantly off. Like, dude, why do you keep taking off your helmet?
He wants everyone to see his face.
Yeah, it helps the brand.
Is that what that is?
Oh, I bet you it is.
Without question.
Or is it just... I mean, I don't know, if you've played football at any level, it's just sort of uncomfortable to have your helmet on.
Well, I mean, look, and in fairness to him, because I sort of jump on him, because it's him. It was what? Wasn't the heat index like over 100 degrees on that field yesterday?
Yes.
So that might have been a factor. So it's so effing hot with this thing on, I'm taking it off.
I heard, and at one point, Joe Judge is on. I'm like, no, on, off, especially yesterday where he was only in certain packages. You know, he's got his gloves wrapped around his face mask. He got his helmet off. It's like, no.
No, the gloves around his face mask is part of his look. That's how it was in Pittsburgh.
Hat on, snap it up, be ready to go, because we're going in and out, different personnel groupings, different packages, be ready to go, be in the game. And, you know, he's going to have to learn that. I guess before the game, too, they were talking about this on the midday, a coach had to run out onto the field to tell him to get into the locker room. So he goes out early, I guess, no shoes.
No shoes, yeah.
No shoes. And he's, like, giving stuff out to people in the crowd. Zoe said it was family members or whatever, so he's sort of grab-assing with the crowd, and he's barefoot out there, screwing around, but he's got some sort of, like, warm-up device or something. I don't even know what the hell it was. And apparently he just stayed out there too long, and they had to send someone out to go get him into the locker room for the pregame.
Yeah, getting ready to start. Come on in.
Get ready for the game. And, you know, again, just not things that you see. These are all harmless and fun, and I wish it was just this. His touchdown stuff.
Oh, jumping, like, into the crowd?
Well, no, but all that, like, patty cake. Like, oh, yeah, all the yeah. Wow. A lot of stuff there.
Oh, yeah, no. They had to orchestrate that, clearly.
Holy crap. A lot of grab ass there, as we like to say.
Oh, look, everything to this guy is a show. It's a show. The right. whole thing is a show.
The way he comes off the bus. So it's like, you know, look at what he's wearing. I mean, we do that with Brady, too, and we do it with a lot of guys, but wow, you know, wait till you see this. He makes it all about him. It's just
totally.
He's just going to suck up all the attention on your season. And he's really not a good dude. And most of the stories aren't going to be positive. And some of them could be, you know, eventually they could rise to the level of criminal. They could rise to the level of suspension worthy, could rise to the level of him getting cut. I don't know if any singular story's gotten there yet, but boy, he's dancing through the raindrops. There's enough of them out there where you say one of these is going to cross the line. But anyway, he just, like, everything he does is just this vacuum of attention to him. And this is why I start off the show asking, are you okay with that? That it becomes about him.
I mean, look, to me again, personally.
Good, bad, goofy, important, not important. It's all about him.
No, I'm not. Again, personally, no. I don't know how you could be. Again, professionally, listen, he's great for business. So I'm not going to say no. But personally, like, think of what the Patriots stand for, right? Who was it? Michael Lombardi that tweeted out the four rules the Patriots have written on their wall? Team comes first. Is this guy like that? One of their four rules is team comes first. No, not with AB. The first two letters of the alphabet are AB. AB comes first.
All right, back to your thoughts after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Maz.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
I don't think any of us had any doubts about AB's skill set. You know, I think it was just good. I think for everybody to see it in actual game, like he continues to be who we expect him to be, and that's a great wide receiver, a good football player. And for us, it's a tremendous asset. You know, it takes a huge stress off of the offensive linemen and running backs, everybody. There's no way you could pinpoint one facet of our offense to try to shut us down. As you see, as you just saw, it's pretty tough to try to contain us. So with him, he's a huge help. We're glad to have him.
That right there is the Patriots' new unofficial team and Antonio Brown spokesman, Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, my guy, my new guy. And Antonio Brown is such a dinkweed, he gets me to root for Josh Gordon.
How was he yesterday?
Oh, he sucked. Seriously, he was awful. I mean, really, I thought Gordon was awful in this game. And not that it mattered. It could have had you and Felger playing wide receiver, for crying out loud, Murray. Wouldn't have mattered yesterday.
We'll get to the game in a minute. But I find it interesting that this is the guy, and he spoke about him on Friday and had some, you know, insightful things to say about Antonio Brown on Friday. Josh Gordon did. And now after the game, again, just I think eloquent is too strong of a word, but just sort of articulate and clear-eyed and borderline insightful. And I think really is speaking for Antonio Brown and the team and Antonio Brown. Give me that other cut there, Jimmy.
He's got a great football mind, football IQ. Guys that are football smart just pick it up, you know. Some faster than others. He's one of those guys that's gifted in that area. He can come in here and was able to adapt on the fly. And he's still learning, as we all are. But, you know, it just goes to show how much he really wants to be a part of this offense, how much he really wants to be here and contribute. And how fast he did it, it was great to see him make that progress today.
Okay, so again, I would dispute how much he picked up when they only played him a third of the snaps. I think that part of the story is being overplayed. Seems to me like he didn't pick up a lot. Seems like he picked up at most a third of it, you know? Which maybe, I don't know, after three practices, maybe that is a lot. I don't know. But I don't think he's fully immersed in it at all. But be that as it may, I do find it interesting that Josh Gordon, when Josh Gordon first got here last year, they were so afraid of him saying anything that they limited him to three questions per post game and then yanked him off the podium. Mm-hmm. Like it was like the three question rule. It was like weird. Now they won't let Antonio Brown speak. They're letting this guy speak for him
at all. They won't let Brown speak at all.
So let's hit on that real quick. Antonio Brown, against league rules, they're going to be fined for it. Did not allow Antonio Brown to speak to the media after the game. They yanked the nameplate off the locker room and shushed him out of there before the media even got there. I'll tell you what I think of it. Smart. Smart.
Oh, it is a smart move if you're them.
Oh, smart. Pay the fine. Smart. Absolutely. Get him out of there. It's a good move. It's why, you know, this is one of the few places he has a chance to work, because they'll just clamp down on the whole thing. And, you know, while it's still going to be about him and he's still going to post on social media and do this, they'll do everything they can to lessen it. And if paying a small fine to, you know, run him from the media after a game is the way to do it, then do it. Smart. Don't let him talk.
Yeah, smart, but I'm sorry to cut you off, but is it fair to guys like Devin McCourty and Matthew Slater, leaders in this team, who have to actually answer questions about this a-hole like they did last week? Did Matthew Slater look like a guy who was
good question,
who was thrilled to have to answer about, you know, a rape charge against his new teammate? I found it very telling that he said last week, we don't know him. Like, he's what was the term he used? He's either new here or we don't even really know him. Like, they're right to distance themselves from him, depending on how this thing plays out.
I mean, that's what struck me, is what Murray said. Like, how long can you do that? How long can you have other people? Like, well, eventually a guy stands there and said, why do I have to answer questions for this guy?
I still think it's smart.
What happened to that team rule of speak only for yourself?
Yeah, I think it's smart to err on that side of it. Get him out of there. Pay the fine. I think that's smart. And, you know, if it rubs the captains the wrong way, well, that's the deal. You're well paid. Devin, you're probably overpaid, and Slater's overpaid to be a gunner. And so we pay you. You're the captain, part of the job, and I would err on that side of it. All right, back to your thoughts, as promised. Eddie in Framingham, what do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about two quick things. Okay, Antonio Brown, I don't like him as a person. I really never did. The whole, you know, business boom thing always just aggravated the crap out of me. Anyway, but he is a great football player, and I think he can do wonders for this team. He didn't do great in the second quarter last night, but he'll pick up the offense as the year goes on. And the second thing, Brady's final season, thinking that we're, you know, we're trying to go 19-0 with this guy for Brady's final season. I don't think that's it. I think Brady's going to feed this guy the ball, get him his incentives, and then possibly bring him back next year.
Okay, well, let's discuss next year. All I'm saying is, this is potentially Brady's last season. And it's potentially the last year of the run, potentially. I mean, again, we don't know, but I mean, I think we all realize there's a chance of this. And in hindsight, if it's the last, we'll look back and say Brady's last season was this, that, and the other. But in the day-to-day, it's all going to be about Antonio Brown. So he's sort of hijacking potentially Brady's last year and the last year of the Brady-Belichick thing and this story. So maybe, you know, he's brought in, and Gasper alluded to this on Friday, because they're firing all their guns because this is the last roundup, which would make sense. But in so doing, he just sort of hijacks all the attention on a daily basis. And again, most of it's going to be negative because he's not a good dude. So are you prepared for that? Are you ready for that? We're already experiencing it, I think. Mike in Queens. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Before I get to my point, Murray, you are on the fence of hypocrisy. You're supposed to be the upside down, morally upside down guy, and now Antonio Brown is where you draw the line. But I'll get to my point. I'll let you address that after. In the teaser video that HBO released for the Saban Belichick documentary, Bill makes a comment about maybe dropping a game, and I think he's referring to the 07 season. I'm a little perplexed as to that thought process with him, and if so, where is it in the season?
Wow, Mike. So, well, first of all, you want to address this first thing?
What, I'm morally upside down because I don't recycle and smoke weed, which is legal in the state. So because of that, I should support a guy who has a civil rape charge against him, and we'll get into the story from Sports Illustrated, treats people in the service industry like they're beneath him and like garbage, which is, to me, maybe one of the worst things you can do to another human being. So no, I should be the one that supports him. No, I want no part of him. He's garbage.
I mean, you do smoke weed, Murray, and you don't believe in recycling.
No, the
both of those things proudly.
The recycling thing bothers me. The rest of it, you're a tremendous individual. The recycling thing.
I know.
I'd like you to come around a little bit. It's really not that hard. Just have two garbage cans. But anyway, the second thing, the undefeated thing, I think it's totally fair to say, and now I'm channeling the Michael Gee, and that's just an inside reference the old-timers are going to have to just go with. I don't want to explain it. That in hindsight, it would have helped them to have lose a game before they got to the Giants. They were a little overconfident. They'd gotten a little soft. They'd gotten a little away with too many bad habits, offensively mostly, and it all sort of caught up to them. And if there was a loss somewhere in there, maybe they would have taken a harder look at themselves and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, that loss, it happened in the 80s, right, with the Giants and the Niners. They both won 18-1, and I think both teams would tell you that loss was important.
Never mind the pressure that, you know, the Crafts will tell you that the pressure was mounting on the team, and they could feel it that week. And so in hindsight, you say, yes, they could have used a loss. But in real time now, don't give in to that. Go for it and get it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, don't kid yourself. Bill wants it.
Go for it and get it.
Bill wants it. He wanted it in 07, and he still wants it on some level, whether he'll admit it or not, is something altogether different.
MFD in Hyde Park. Yes, go ahead, sir.
So Antonio Brown is probably a piece of crap, but the Pats knew he was full of drama before they signed him, and we don't really know if he's guilty on these specific charges recently. So I think he's great to watch, and I think he's going to fit in. But you're right. We don't really need him. We have Lacoste coming back. We have Watson coming back. We have Harry coming back. And the Pats are going to come right on the back of you and sell him with the Super Bowl again.
Okay, so I think they have a chance to go 19-0 without him. I mean, I really do.
I mean, after seeing the first 2 weeks.
The league is down.
Yeah, boy.
You had the easiest schedule to begin with, and the league is down. And I said this before the season. I told you, I think something's happened to Pat Mahomes. Like, it's just due.
He took a hit yesterday when he released it. You know, it's one of those ones that looks scary when, you know, the throwing.
Yeah. I saw it on a little screen. Yeah.
And watching a replay, I was like, oh, he's going to be hurt here. And he wasn't, thankfully. Because, as much as I want some of these guys going down.
He took one in week one, too, Murray, on his ankle.
Yeah, he went to the tent in week one.
And I laugh at Roethlisberger's injury because I think he's human garbage. I do want the league to, you know, to have the best possible product on the field. And when the quarterbacks go down like this, it's going to suck.
Okay, so anyway, we continue with your thoughts on the story of the Patriots in 2019, the man who will garner all the attention and hijack your season, Antonio Brown. But there was a game yesterday. We do have some game thoughts. We'll get to them right after Murray's 90-second update. No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.